Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
That's your typical HBO. They do those good things well. So it's
Big Mickey Mantle won this summer.
Oh, really? I like to see that.
For the 10th anniversary of his death is this summer, you know.
That's August 95, August 2nd?
August 13th, 1995.
Yes. All right.
10 years, and they're doing an hour special.
That's a good one. HBO's, they're going to do it that day? Or
no,
something?
They've already done it. It's probably already being edited
now.
That's
it. You did some stuff on it. That's
right.
I did
a lot of stuff on it. I don't know how much they use, but I did a whole morning.
So
Costas was following me in. You know, there'll be plenty of Billy Crystal, plenty of Costas, maybe a little me.
You got the first two guys right, I guarantee you that.
Plenty of them.
Yeah.
And some of me, too.
All right, Mike.
Because I know a couple of things that I did already made the thing because they talked to me about them.
Well, which topic?
Well, just a couple of things I talked about with Mantle as a kid that I came up with. I just gave him some remembrances and stuff like that.
Yeah, they can't think of any. There's not a better guy in America.
Well, but those guys are more. They knew him
better.
Much,
and they're older.
And they knew him better than I did.
Well, they're not that much older.
Well, Billy Crystal knew. Billy Crystal's about 7 years older than me.
I mean, Costas a little younger than you, right?
Oh, a little older, I think. A little older, a couple of years.
I think he is, a couple of years.
But he knew him a lot better than I did.
Well, he did the funeral.
And he did the big interview with him. Remember the coming out interview with him?
Oh, that's right. He did that big when Mickey apologized to everybody.
Yeah,
and
so he knew him pretty
well. I'm not going to be nasty to the kid in the airport.
You and I had about 3 shots at him in our life. One of which you may remember. Yeah. The other two, I don't know. I wouldn't give you a lot.
I remember the one time. We had a couple other chances.
We had him three times. I think I had him once before you and twice with you. It was twice you and I went to Mantle's and interviewed him.
Was it twice?
Yes, I remember each time. Yes.
I remember once when he got a man at the book and everything.
That was the second time. We had been there once before.
We had a big show that day with all the ex-Yankees.
Yes. Remember Moose and Hank and Yogi, Whitey.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was talking to my pal, Patty Cowles, the other day about some of the, because he was talking about the NCAA. Mm-hmm. Goodrich, Kareem.
Sure.
And we were talking about the 60, he remembered the 60 World Series.
Right.
And he said, and his father was a huge Yankee fan. Went to see Ruth when he was died, saw the casket, the whole bit. He said, never, his father since passed away, but he said, never, ever blame Game 7 on Ralph Terry. Gave up the home run. Never blame the game on Ralph Terry. His father, and you and I would be the same way, his father to his dying day, blame that game on Jim Coates, who gave up the 3-1 home run to Al Smith that got the Pirates. I got to get the box score of the game.
Sure.
Now you gave that big home run to Al Smith.
Sure, absolutely.
Was it the 8th inning?
Might have been either the 7th or the 8th.
Why don't you give me the encyclopedia, Mark? I'll take a look at the inning. But he said, blame that loss, because we talk about epic Yankee losses.
That was
as epic as it gets, Game 7 of 1960.
Well, that was one where Mantle, absolutely, they said, cried afterwards. He had a huge World Series.
And that's the famous play where Mantle made that great base running play.
He went back into first after the tag. The guy tried to get a 3-6-3 double play, but he stepped on the bag first and then was going to wheel and throw to second, and Mantle, after he stepped on the bag, slid back into first on Rocky Bridges.
Yeah, it's a brilliant baseball play.
Save the double play. As he tagged the base and spun, Mantle spun back into the bag and was safe.
Took
the base back.
That's a brilliant play.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. It's a brilliant play. Let me just look at see when Coates gave up that home run, make sure it was got the right guy here. Because Terry gets all the abuse.
Yeah.
But, the game was tied when Terry gave up that home run, and the Yankees had a big lead in that game. Did they not, Mike?
Yes.
Game 7. I hate to do this.
Go ahead, put your glasses on.
So I can see
can't see anymore.
I'm blind as a bat.
We'll get you a little glass of tea, a little cup of tea.
Oh, yes.
Good.
Here you go.
Good.
Capitalizing on a break when a ground ball took a bad hop.
Well, you know the Kubek. You know the Kubek throat deal.
Yeah. Same inning.
Right.
Pirates scored 5 in the 8th, capped by Al Smith's 3-run homer. Yankees tied it in the 9th, and then Mazurowski won it in the bottom of the 9th. So going into the bottom of the 8th inning of that game,
Yankees lead was
7-4.
Right. Well, the Kubek play was a double play ball. Hit him in the Adam's apple.
Right. I don't even know. I never
came up and hit him in a, right. They called it the Kubek series.
Famous. And yes, you could take the glass. You don't have to go that. Give me a close up of my
glasses. I like that. I like that. Yes. Look at how vain are you. Put the glasses back on.
Make you happy. Make you happy.
Yes. Come in. Get a close up. There you go. Dog in middle age.
You got that right.
Soon there'll be a couple of gray hairs.
And then Pat always plays. His father said
he takes them off. How vain is dog? He takes them off when you put a close-up on him. He doesn't want you to know he has his glasses on.
It bothered me when I saw that. And Coates, Mike, you remember Jim Coates or no?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And that's the game that Bobby Shands pitched 5 great innings in relief, and he took him out in the bottom of the 8th inning.
Jim Coates, absolutely.
So Coates gave up the home run, and Joe Kosgov said, always blame that loss on Jim Coates.
And Mantle was 10 for 25 with 4 homers, 10 RBIs in that series. At 400 with 4 homers, 10 RBIs.
Everybody hit the Pirates that year.
Games they won, they were winning 17-1, 14-0.
And don't forget, of course, Ford didn't pitch enough in that series.
That got
him fired.
Well, the players never always blame Casey for the series, you know. Yeah, they blame Casey.
Never managed again with the Yankees.
Mike and the Mad Dog on Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAU.
Let me give this Scott Schaefer a pop because he wrote a book, an article in Baseball Research Journal called The Science of Second Guessing. And in it, he talks about the World Series.
What game?
The Stengel and his decisions about Whitey Ford.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it in a nutshell, and I'll let Mike fight it off. Number one, Whitey Ford that year was on the DL.
Correct.
Had just 12 wins on the season.
Correct.
And 60 was one of his poorest seasons.
That's correct.
Number two, Pittsburgh was a power-hitting right-handed team.
Mm-hmm.
Ford was a left-hander in that ballpark, better off at Yankee Stadium. Number three, Dittmer, who started game one, had 70 victories with a 5-1-1 winning percentage in 7 seasons with the Yankees, and in that year led the Yankees in victories, innings pitched, and ERA.
Right.
Okay.
Who wasn't a patch on Ford's rear end.
I agree. Okay. Now, the odds makers, no difference between who the pitchers were in the game as far as the
what's he talking about there?
Well, hold on, let me give it to you right. The line in the game was even with either pitcher on the mound. So they must have put, you know, an either-or situation. Line in the game was even.
What is that? That means nothing.
Well, I mean, if Ford was so much better, the odds would be
Ford was so much better.
All right, well, here's a couple other things.
How did Ford pitch?
Pitch great. Now.
And every Yankee player, I mean, there were Yankee players who were irate about this.
Now, Stengel.
Ford was injured that year. That's absolutely true.
Stengel used Ford 3 times in the 58 World Series, did not win a game, ERA 4-1-1. 3 times, 58 World Series, did not win a game, ERA of over 4.
Yep.
Assuming, as Stengel apparently did, that Ford would be available to just 2 games in the series, his relative benefit was greater the deeper in the series those 2 starts occurred, particularly if one of the starts came in Yankee Stadium, where the dimensions favored left-handed batters and pitchers. Fight that off.
Well, the way I would fight it off is
Dittmer a better year. Bad 58 postseason for Whitey when he had the 3 starts in the World Series and had a bad ERA.
Did he tell you about the 55 World Series where Ford was 2-0 with a 2.1 ERA?
How many starts?
Or the 56 World Series where Ford was 1-1 with a 1.1 ERA?
How many starts, though?
Two starts.
Well, in 58, he had 3, right?
58, he had 3 starts. He did not win a game, and he pitched to a 4 ERA.
No, that's, I guess,
okay?
That's his point.
But he didn't tell you about the fact that he pitched to a 1.1 ERA in 57.
But if you're only going to pitch him twice, the idea about game one,
and that he pitched to a 2.1 ERA in 55.
Right. But the idea, though, if you pitch him in game one, you have him 1-4-7. If you had to pitch him 3 times and he didn't pitch well in 58 on 3 starts, that's the point I'm trying to make. That's the point he makes.
And Ford's year had to do in the fact that he was injured in 1960. That's what it came down to. His numbers were Ford-like. He gave up 160 hits in 192 innings.
Right.
He only walked 60 batters. I mean, he pitched Ford-like games, and he threw a league-leading 4 shutouts in his injured year.
Oh, forget about that
year.
Oh, you combated that well. Forget that. That's not among his poor seasons.
Led the league in shutouts that year for that terrible year that Ford had. He led the league in shutouts that year.
Here is the point I would make, that the only argument that I like for him in this spot, I like two of them. One, 58 World Series, pitched 3 times and pitched badly in the games. And if you pitch him in game 1, you got to pitch him 3 times.
Absolutely.
That's fair. You agree with that's a fair argument?
He had to pitch him 3 times. I agree.
But that's
that was the idea.
But if you're Stengel and you're thinking 58, would that play into your mind? You know, I did this in 58 3 times. He was bad.
I shouldn't have.
Maybe I won't pitch him 3 times in this series, so I'll save him for Yankee Stadium. How about that?
He's your star, though. And that year that you're talking about for Dittmar, Ford was injured and was 12-9. Dittmar was 15-9 that year. That's all he was 15-9. His ERA was 3.06, and Ford's ERA in that terrible year was 3.08. And that year, Dittmar had thrown 1 shutout, and Ford led the league with 4. And just to tell you how things – well, why don't you tell him, Doug, how things went?
Oh, he lost the first game 6-4. Dittmar did, and he came
Dittmar's
back.
Dittmar's ERA in the 1960 World Series was 21.6. Ford's ERA in the 1960 World Series was 0. Ford's ERA in the 1961 World Series was 0. He pitched 33 and a third consecutive scoreless innings in the World Series.
Hey, bottom line is, Dittmar stunk, so it kills your argument. If Dittmar pitched well,
not
you'd have
a Dittmar
better...
stunk, Ford broke records.
Right, but the argument would have been, could you have used him 3 times?
Yes.
Even though he was bad in 58 on 3 starts.
Absolutely.
Give me his 58 starts in 3 times. Let me hear him. Inning-wise.
All right.
Let me hear the games. Maybe they weren't as bad as he indicates. Let me hear his performance level.
I will give it to you.
58 against them. The Yankees came back to win out series now. They were down 3-1, and they came back and won 3 straight games. The last 2 games in Milwaukee, by the way.
It would have been nice if the Pirates had cooperated with Stengel and maybe allowed Ford to get a hit off, and get a hit off Ford in the series. It would have helped. All right, 58 World Series.
Pitch game 1.
Ford pitched game 1.
What was it? What was it? How did
7 pitch? Innings.
Right.
Allowed 2 runs in 7 innings. The Braves won the game 4-3.
Not terrible, okay?
7 innings, 2 runs.
Next start.
Oh, the Braves won the game in 10 innings.
4-3.
4-3. Right. Ford pitched 7 innings.
All right, next game.
Next game.
On 3 days rest?
Yeah, game 4. Ford pitched 7 innings.
Right.
And left trailing 1-0. They lost the game 3-0.
That's 2. What's 3?
Game 3, Ford pitched 1 inning. 1 inning.
He started the game?
Pitched 1 inning, gave him a run in the first, and Casey pulled him.
Must have been hurt. What game was that?
Game 6.
How many days rest did he pitch in that game?
He pitched on October 5th and pitched on October 8th.
2 days rest. Why wouldn't he? Well, they were down 3 games.
That's why he brought him back in game 6. He didn't even pitch game 7. He pitched game 6.
Wow. So... Scott's arguments here on the Stengel thing with Ford are incorrect.
Just to show you, Dittmar, okay, 60 World Series, Dittmar pitches game 1.
No, he bit badly. 6-4.
Pitches a third of an inning.
Gets knocked out.
In the first game, gets knocked out.
Okay, number 1. Number 2.
Ford pitches game 3.
Pitch great. Yankee
pitches
Stadium.
A 4-hit shutout.
Right.
Dittmar comes back in game 5, and this time lasts 1 inning.
How many runs?
3 runs and gets knocked out in the third after 3 runs in the second inning.
Okay.
Ford goes in game 6, pitches another shutout.
Right. So bottom line is that Ford should have pitched. He argued against it, and you came up with the answers.
It got Casey fired.
Yeah, you got to pitch him.
It was one of the big reasons why Casey got fired.
Casas is
players were crazy on the fact that Ford didn't start the series.
Casas is 53, yes, so he's 2 years older than Mike. Radio.com.
Mike and the Mad Dog, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Okay, Mike and Chris here on Sports Radio 66 as we talked about the world of sports. So, Scott Schaefer did this, the science of second guessing the cases of Stengel, Mark, and McNamara. He's wrong on the 24th thing. Mike just gave you all the statistics. Ford's got to pitch 3 games in that World Series. Especially, I did not realize the ERA in the 58 series was really ballooned by the one run he gave up in one inning in his third start in Game 6 on 2 days rest. So, and we were going to ask him to pitch three on 2 days rest in that series. So he's wrong on that one. Let me give Mike a couple more here. Interesting. You ready, Mike? Mark, 64, Phillies. You know, he gets killed, Mark, for pitching these guys on the 2 days rest.
Basically pitched two pitches down the stretch of the
right.
season.
Now, his argument basically is he didn't have much of a choice.
This one I'm not that well-versed on, Doug. I know he pitched the two of them down the stretch of the season.
You know what?
I don't know what his other choices were.
Well, he didn't have a lot of them. He had Rick Wise, who was 18 years of age. He had Chris Short. He had Art Mahaffrey, a journeyman. I had Ray Copel, who was hurt. He didn't have a lot of guys here. The only thing I will say about the Mark thing, I played golf one year in Palm Springs, California in 92 with Gene Mark, set up by Jim Corvallis. Gene Mark, to me himself, said, I made a mistake in a 64 World Series, a 64 pennant race.
Oh, he did?
Yes. To me himself, he said that. To me.
He
quote,
tried to win one game, and it kept costing him.
Right. You know, basically, he's got all the percentages. We'll give Scott a break on that. All right, now here's the McNamara thing. You want to hear about McNamara?
In what year?
86.
Oh, I'd like to hear that, because that was a terrible... I'm going to agree with him. Oh, he's going to defend McNamara?
Yeah, it seems like he is.
That one's going to be hard, but go ahead. McNamara was terrible.
Because he uses my book to talk about it, because in my book, I called that year the biggest managerial blunder in baseball
history. Which I think probably was one of them. I agree with you.
And so he wants to see if I was correct.
Go ahead.
McNamara had, first off, the removing of Buckner, right?
Yes.
McNamara had multiple opportunities to remove Bill Buckner from the game, and in fact had done so in each of Boston's seven postseason wins that year.
Right.
Buckner was a premier offensive player, steady for his baseman, chronic ankle problems curtailed his range.
Right.
However, leading the manager to substitute defensive specialist David Stapleton when the team was ahead in the late innings. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
First such opportunity in Game 6, top of the 8th. Red Sox led the Mets in that 6th game, 8th inning, 3-2.
Right.
Bases loaded, 2 out. Orozco was pitching. The hitter was Buckner. He had Don Baylor on the bench because, obviously, he couldn't use the DH to pinch hit.
Correct.
He had two alternatives at this point. Use Baylor to bat for left-handed Buckner and then insert Stapleton at first base, which was, I think, maybe what I would have done, or allow Buckner to bat. All right? The alternative B with Buckner hitting would allow the possibility of replacing Buckner with Stapleton at any point afterward, as well as using Baylor at a later point.
I would have probably done that because Buckner could hit anybody.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have done.
I mean, Buckner was a good hitter.
He could have left Buckner in the game.
You know, Buckner, he didn't hit much in that series, but he was a good hitter.
Right. All right. Whatever. So you had those two choices.
Right.
All right. In assessing the probabilities of success, we have a wealth of information, as did McNamara. Assuming that the objective for the upcoming at-bat was to get an insurance run, of course, the batter would need to safely reach base by any means, of course. On-base percentage, a great offensive statistic, blah, 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 blah. In estimating the probability of success, Baylor or Buckner versus Orozco in Game 6, Baylor's on-base percentage is .359 versus left-hand pitching, and Buckner's on-base percentage against left-hand pitching was .257.
What is his point?
Point is, put Baylor up there. He's got a better on-base percentage.
So what? You're still going to put Stapleton in for defense.
Baylor's weighted OBP is much higher because he was more effective than Buckner against lefties, while Orozco had greater success against left-handed hitters. Baylor's odds of producing a run by this predicator, let me finish here, I'm not sure how he says it, close to 10 percentage points better than Buckner's. Comparing the two figures directly, Baylor had a 39% greater chance of success than Buckner did in this situation. Okay. Furthermore, Buckner was bad at the end of the season, blah, 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 blah. And Orozco was great against lefties in the postseason.
Correct.
Only one batter had reached base in 18 postseason at-bats.
But what does it have to do with Stapleton?
Okay, so maybe you should have let Baylor pinch hit.
Let Baylor pinch hit and you put Stapleton in defense.
He didn't let Baylor pinch hit there. Okay. To justify leaving Buckner in the game in that situation, McNamara had to conclude that the 10 percentage point improvement in the chance of scoring was not worth the loss of Baylor as a potential pinch hitter in the unknown future situation. Given that Baylor's weighted on-base percentage against Orozco was higher than Buckner.
What is his point?
Let me see. But was this his worst managerial move ever? Failure to insert Baylor may have been a poor choice. But given that Buckner had 102 RBIs that season, it would not seem to be a vintage caliber. Similarly, leaving Stapleton on the bench with a two-run lead in the bottom of the 10th may have been unwise, but comparison of Stapleton and Buckner's career fielding percentages at first base even would hardly have predicted the famous era.
That's ridiculous. He used them every game.
Right. The McNamara's
the guy was crippled.
Yeah. On McNamara's unpopular removal of Clemens after seven of Game 6 was a third controversial decision. The choice is informed by a worsened blister on the pitcher's hand and otherwise bears close resemblance to a move another Boston manager was crucified for not making 17 years later. Okay, blah, 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 blah. The case studies demonstrate how conventional understanding of the actions of managers can be mistaken as a result of inadequate or skewed assessment of facts. Systematic analysis shows that commonly held grievances with Stengel and Mork are unjustified. Well,
I totally disagree.
On Stengel, you can't argue.
I think Stengel's was so unjustified, it's ridiculous. Ditmore was never in the same league as Whitey Ford as a pitcher.
Plus, you can't use the 58 World Series. He had two good starts in that game. The specific criticism of McNamara is validated, although the overall case against the manager has been exaggerated. On the whole, the positions of these and other managers in baseball history have been dictated more by reflexive reactions than by careful analysis.
Plus, the New York Yankee players were furious at Stengel for not pitching Whitey Ford in the first game of the series.
Applied to the practice of second-guessing, a process described here can help lead to more accurate and fair evaluation of managers, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I would say. Mork told me himself he made a mistake. That's number one.
So you're defending Mork. Mork even admits he made a mistake.
That's number one.
Number two, there's no question Stengel made a mistake.
And
Dog and I have interviewed many players on that team, and a lot of them said they could not believe Stengel did that.
Well, here's what
including Mantle.
Here's what kills you. If you're going to bring up the 58 World Series, here's the two things that kill you. The 58 World Series, three of his starts, two of them were
great. Excellent. Yeah.
The other one was one inning. On 2 days' rest, which you would not have had a pitch in Pittsburgh.
Because he was the other time he was losing, that's why.
Right. And the other thing is, he had a good year in 60. He had a good season. It wasn't one of his poor seasons. He was hurt, but he had an excellent season.
It was a poor season for him. It wasn't a poor season for anybody.
Well, it even wasn't a poor season for him, Mike, with his ERA and everything else, right? I mean, the ERA was...
Well, his ERA was high for him, but it was 3.08. That's a bad year for him.
What's his normal ERA, about 2.75?
I'll give you from 54, 2.8, 2.6, 2.4, 2.5, 2.01, 3.04 and 59, and then 3.08.
It's not that big a difference.
And it was higher in 61 when he went 25-4. It was 3.2.
Right. So that argument is awful.
I know that was an expansion year. Now, but the point is, the bottom line is, in the year that you got rid of him, that you said he wasn't pitching well, the guy still only allowed 168 hits in 192 innings and led the league with four shutouts.
Now, McNamara is interesting. Let's go back to that eighth inning for a second. Tapia, you're the manager. Now, we've all killed McNamara. Now, he still claims that Clemens wanted out of the game, and Clemens refuses to admit that.
Yeah, they still have that dispute.
They still fight about it, and McNamara even this year brought it up.
Yes.
So McNamara
says Clemens
still
there. Asked out of the game. Yeah. Clemens said, nonsense, I asked
right,
out of the
so
game.
So it depends who you want to believe there. Fine.
And here's Art Ditmore, Doug. Art Ditmore, here he is, okay? The guy that Casey chose instead of Whitey Ford won. He was 1-4 in 54, 12-12 in 55, 12-22 in 56, 8-3 in 57, 9-8 in 58, 13-9 in 59.
Yeah,
this guy starts over Whitey Ford?
No, he's got to pitch game one. Scott's wrong on that. He hasn't followed
and
that.
And he never won a World Series game.
He did that was a very poor decision.
Never, ever. He not only had never won a World Series game when the 60 World Series started, he never won a World Series game in his life.
Throwing the fact that he stunk in the two games he pitched. Now, the issue on McNamara is interesting. Let's throw it out there for a second. Top of the eighth. 3-2, you lead. Two out.
Right.
Buckner's up. Now, Buckner's a professional hitter. We all know that.
Top of the eighth.
3-2 lead.
Right.
Here you got two out.
Two out.
You got a lead. You have the combination of Buckner, Baylor, and Stapleton. Play it out.
No one on base.
No, base is loaded.
Oh, base is loaded, rather.
Two out.
I bet Baylor and pinch hit. I bet Baylor and put Stapleton in for defensive purposes.
That's how you would have handled it.
Yes. That's what I would have done. But even if I bat Buckner, I'm putting Stapleton in for defensive purposes.
So you might give Buckner the at bat.
I'll argue that one with you. But after that, and the reason I probably go to Baylor is because Orozco was very tough on lefties.
And one guy.
But the bottom line is Stapleton was in every other game.
That's the problem. If he was in seven consecutive games, how do you not put him in that one? I don't understand it.
What, Buckner got better that night? Buckner was crippled. He couldn't run.
Well, Scott Schaefer gave us a good 20 minutes, 4:18.
I tell you, I don't agree with anything you said.
WFAN!
Mike and the Mad Dog.
All right, so we got that taken care of. I mean, Ford has to pitch those games. That's what we always wondered about that.
Well,
but he had to pitch those games. You look at the, you analyze it, he's got to pitch.
Many things written on that, and members of that team have told us they were shocked that the team almost had a mutiny when Ford didn't start the first game of that World Series.
I tell you one thing about Stenger that would drive me crazy. Now, he was proved accurate. He won all these championships. But how in a 58 World Series against Milwaukee, when you pitch Whitey on 2 days' rest, how do you get him out of there after one inning? He gave up a run. All right, fair enough. He gave up a run. But if you felt strong enough to pitch him, you got to let him stay in a game more than an inning. If he only gave up one run, he's Whitey Ford.
And, Doug, I don't know if it was 58, 57. Let me see. I don't know if it was 57 or 58.
That
Moose told me that he was having a great World Series, and he had a couple of years.
It was against the Dodgers, wasn't it?
No, I don't think it was against the. Was it 55?
I thought it was. Maybe
it might
I remember
been.
The story that he.
Well, Moose told me.
Voted first inning.
Right. Moose told me that, told us that. He was batting cleanup in a World Series. Yankees loaded the bases with no out. And Stengel pinch hit for him in the bottom of the first.
Hard to believe.
And he put up a lefty hitter.
Who got a big hit.
Who got a double and knocked in all three runs.
Right.
And Moose said he was tearing up the clubhouse. He wanted to kill Stengel. Here he is batting behind Mantle in a World Series game. And he pinch hits for him in the first inning.
And he won, Stengel, so you can't say anything. But boy,
and I don't know which
crazy
game.
Magic.
I mean, I don't know which game it was. I have no idea. Moose was a good World Series player.
Yeah, good hitter. It was. I remember the story. He said we could not believe
it. You know, I don't remember which World Series Moose said it was. I think Moose's first World Series was 55.
If you have enough confidence to let the guy hit behind Mantle, or you have enough confidence to let Whitey Ford, a Hall of Fame pitcher, pitch in a 2 days rest scenario in 58, you got to let him pitch. Don't take him out after one inning. That doesn't make any sense. This is getting rocked. He didn't get rocked. He gave up one run.
Yeah, I don't know what year it was. I don't remember what Moose told me.
Listen, I was just talking about Ford, and Matt Deutsch brought this story in that this Scott Schaefer wrote, and I didn't realize he was writing it off those arguments I made in the Mad Dog 100. I just looked at it and said, you know, we're just talking about this. Let me go look. Let me read it to Mike. Let him fight it. Read it. But if you look at the Ford thing in 60, you can't make any. There's no point to make. The guy's got to pitch the games. Denver lost both. Ford was good in 58, and he was good that year. He's got to pitch the games. That's all there is to it. And Stengel in game 7. Now, listen, we didn't see the game. I don't have the moves left and right. I know everybody complains, Mike. Looking to sick. How many innings did Shantz pitch?
Five innings.
Now, he took him out. Now, I don't know why he took him out of that game, but he took him out of that game. And, of course, Coates gave up the 3-1 homer after the ground ball by Vernon hit Kubek in the neck.
Yeah.
Yes.
This all started because my pal Joe Cosgrove, the late Joe Cosgrove, Pat's father, Jim Coates, blamed 60 on him.
Look at these numbers in the 60 World Series, though. The Yankees lose this World Series. Ford was 2-0 with he pitched two shutouts.
Right.
Scarron was 12 for 32.
Right.
Two homers, seven RBIs. Richardson was 11 for 30, one homer, eight runs scored, and 12 RBIs.
Yeah, 12 RBIs.
Yes.
Wow.
Kubek was 10 for 30, six runs scored, three RBIs. Maris was 8 for 30 with two homers, six runs scored, only two RBIs.
He had 33 homers that year, didn't he? It was a 39.
39. Mantle had 40. Mantle was 10 for 25. With eight runs scored and 11 RBIs.
How many no home runs?
Three homers.
Wow.
And Berra was 7 for 22 with a homer and eight RBIs.
Well, give them the scores. The Yankees won three games.
First game, Yankees lost
6-4. All
right. Second game, Yankees won 16-3. Third game, Yankees won 10-0. Fourth game, Pirates won 3-2.
That's the key game of the series.
Fifth
right there.
Game, Pirates won 5-2.
Yankees lost 2 out of 3 at home.
Sixth game, Yankees won 12-0. So the Yankees won 16-3, 10-0, and 12-0, and then lost the championship game, the seventh game, 10-9.
Well, here's where the Yankees lose that series. Games 4 and 5 at home. You go through game. They're at home, up 2-1, with 2 blowouts in a row. How'd they lose game 4?
Well, Terry pitched that game, Doug, in 4.
Was it
and
score?
The score was 3-2. Right. The Pirates scored three times. Scarron homered in the fourth. The Pirates scored three times in the fifth. Laws double. That's Vance Law double. Vernon Law was the pitcher. Vance Law was the no, that was Vernon Law rather. Vernon Law's double, and Verdon single capped the Pirates' 3-run fifth and gave them the lead. Elroy faced was 8 men up, 8 men down in relief of Law.
Right.
Elroy Face had a great year that year, 16-1.
He was. All right, how about the next game?
The next game,
5-2. You said,
yeah. Again, Elroy Face. Face again came in to save the game. Pitched 2 2/3 of scoreless relief.
Well, give me Face's numbers then in a World Series.
Face in that World Series. Well, funny, Face Dog did not have that good of numbers because he must have got bombed early in one of these games.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me find a game.
It's game 2 or game 3, one or the other.
No, Face saved. Face saved game 1.
All right.
Saved game 4.
Okay.
Saved game 5.
All right.
But he got tattooed in. Yeah, he got tattooed in one of these games. Friend, you didn't pitch that game.
So game 2, he didn't pitch. Game 3, 10-0. He got maybe game 6. 12-0.
No, it was game 7.
He pitched one bad game. What did he do in that game? What does it say? How many innings he pitch?
Well, he pitched 3 innings, but he got whacked around big time in game 7.
So he had 3 saves going into game 7.
He saved 3 games. He came in, Doug, he actually came in the 6th inning.
In game 7.
And the Yankees had a big uprise. They had 4 runs in the inning.
So in other words then, Face was on his way to being the MVP of the World Series.
He was, yes.
Because he had 3 saves and he gets bombed in the 7th
inning. They brought him into in inning 6. And he pitched 3 innings, but he gave up 6 runs.
All right, there you go. Good job.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Doug, Face was 10-8 with 24 saves and 60.
So he wasn't 16-1.
The year before he was 18-1. Remarkable, huh? 59. He was 18-1 with 10 saves.
Well, he did not win a Cy Young. Pirates probably were bad.
Early
White
win.
White Sox.
Let me look at early win. He won the Cy Young.
Now, Pirates in 59 were probably awful. They were very bad in the 50s.
They were.
He probably was bad. The team was bad, so that's why he didn't win a Cy Young. And the White Sox won the American League pennant, so Wynn must have won 20 games or something. Right, Mike?
Oh, I'm sure he won more than 20 games.
Now, Face is not in the Hall of Fame. It's debatable. You know, he's not really a Hall of Fame, but he's close. Good ERA, 20. Lotti led the league in saves 4 years, got 100 wins.
Threw a big, nasty forkball.
Good ERA lifetime, 3-3 or 3-4. So,
early win, 59.
What was his record?
22-10.
ERA?
3.1. 255 innings. 202 hits.
No, okay, I can live with that. Now, Face was tremendous. What was the Pirates' record in 59, Mike? Were they independent race?
No,
or were they dead?
I don't think they were independent race.
So he never really was in. He never was a factor that year. Dodgers won the pennant.
Bucks
won
were
the World
a bad
Series.
Team.
Yeah, Bucks are terrible. I mean, that's why 60 was so improbable.
All right.
Because, you know, that was a team that never did
59,
anything.
59, the Pirates were 78-76.
They're not terrible, terrible. How many Dodgers? How many wins?
Won a pennant with 88 wins.
And don't forget, they won a playoff because they played Milwaukee in a playoff series and won 2-1. Was it 2-1 or
was
it?
2-1.
Right. The Braves made some errors in that second. Maybe it may have been 2-0. But the Braves made some errors in that second.
No, it was 2-0.
2-0.
2-0 to love.
Because
59.
It counts as a regular season.
They were 86-58. Was their record at the end of the season.
Both teams.
86-68.
So the Dodgers turned out 88, and the Pirates lost 60 games.
Those games count, yes.
So they were 2-0. Because the first game was in Milwaukee, and Mike and I have discussed this 1,000 times. Milwaukee was very close in this period there in the mid-50s of having a dynasty team. They won a World Series. They were 3 games to one up in another World Series. They lost a 59 playoff to L.A. What were the Braves in 60?
And that was probably the Yankees' worst. Braves in 60?
They were in a pennant race because they were with the Pirates. What were the Braves in 60?
Braves in 60 lost the pennant by 7 games.
What were they in 56? These are the Aaron Braves, Eddie Matthews. 56 Braves. Did?
lost the pennant by one game to Brooklyn, 93-92.
And how about 55, just for the heck of it, when you're sitting there? Dodgers, of course, in 55.
Lost it by, well, the Dodgers won 98, Braves won 85.
Okay, so we don't count that. So 56, 57, 58, and 59, the Braves bounce of the ball could have been in four consecutive World Series.
And this was the really only... See, the 1954 Yankee team, the only other one from 59...
They won 100 games.
They won 103 games.
Lost by eight.
Indians won 111.
Yeah, well, how about 59?
The 59 Yankees were bad. They were 79 and 75.
All right, so here's the deal on Casey. He has a bad year. What are they doing? 58, they won it. Bad year. Why were they bad in 59?
Well, a lot of things. Ford did not have a great year for Ford.
All right, that's one.
He was 16-10 with a 3.0 ERA.
Not great. Did Mantle play 130?
Mantle played. He did not have a good year
him. Well, no Maris either, right?
No, this is before Maris.
Yeah, Maris came in 60.
Berra didn't have a great year.
So he just had a bad year.
Mantle had 31 homers, but only 75 RBIs.
How many games?
Let me check him, pick him up there in his games. Hold on.
That is a weird one. The Yankees were so dominant for so long, even in 54, as Mike said, yet in 59 they were bad.
Bad in 59, yeah.
And the White Sox won how many games? Did you see?
They won 90-something. 92, I think it was.
All right, Mantle played how many games in 59? Mink, you remember that, top of your head? You were around.
59, Mantle played 140 games.
Well, he played enough games.
Bad. 31 homers, 100, not a good year for me. 285, that was the first year in... First year in 7 years, he had a 300. He had 23 doubles, 4 triples, 31 homers, only 75 RBI, scored 104 runs, led the league and had a lot of walks, a lot of strikeouts. Every year he was 100 in both.
Well, God created a Yankee hater in 59, yours truly. And
absolutely.
He said, you know what? I'm not having a Yankees win a World Series.
You got the right year. You got the right year there, dog.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.